Hello, welcome back to our True Tales from Harrods podcast. My name is Viv McSweeney, Head of Employee Experience and Internal Comms, and I'm back with more True Tales from Harrods. First things first, hello summer. Now, I just love June. The weather's getting warmer. It's light outside till late, and I get to spend loads of lovely time in the back garden with my beautiful children and our lovely dog, Bo. Lots of celebrations in the McSweeney-Whiting household in June because my Finn, my ferocious Finn, is going to be turning 9 and lovely Lola is going to be turning 13. So it's safe to say I'll be spending time on activities that make them smile, which includes a lot of time train spotting with Finn. We spend all Saturday this weekend at Clapham Junction train spotting and then probably TikToking and shopping with Lola, whose favourite place to go is not Harrods, which she does like Harrods, but it's Westfield probably because it's a little bit more affordable for her teenage purse. And talking of smiles, our guest today is someone who makes me smile on a regular basis. So please welcome the lovely Abby Weeks. Now, Abby is our HR director here at Harrods and we don't want to keep her waiting a moment longer. So good morning, Abby. How are you today?
Morning, Viv. Very well, thank you.
Lovely to have you here this morning, Abby. We're going to spend a bit of time first getting to know you, if that's okay, and a little bit about your story and your journey. Could we start with how you ended up here at Harrods? So where did it all begin?
Yeah, so I've been at Harrods now for over 20 years. I actually applied speculatively. I was studying for my master's and Harrods was one of a number of companies that I wrote to, wanting sort of my first step on an HR career. So I started as an HR assistant 20 years ago.
Wow.
And then during the course of the last 20 years have worked in various roles across the HR function and was made the sort of full HR director, if you like, 4 years ago.
Wow. So you must have seen some changes in your time.
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing when you look back, actually, about the changes that the business has been through, different owners, leadership team, worked with some amazing people along the way. But, you know, there's some things that are sort of core to Harrods DNA that don't change, yeah. Which I think is why I've stayed and why it's such a sort of special place to build a career, or certainly has been for me.
Totally. And talking of career, when we think back to Abby growing up, was HR a career that you talked about? Do young girls do that?
No, I don't think they do. Sadly, no, not sadly, actually. No, it was never something I'd thought about. I didn't really know it existed as a career. I actually was asking my mum what I wanted to be when I was younger, and she can't remember. I think she feels a little bit bad about that. I think, like lots of girls, I wanted to be in a band, a girl band, but sadly couldn't sing or dance.
That doesn't seem to hold many back, Abby, to be fair.
No. I was interested a little bit in law for a while. Mm-hmm. But then there's other things that really appealed to me, like being a florist, but teaching also featured. I found a really dodgy picture of me in a full nurse outfit when I was, I think, must have been 8 or 9. So clearly there was something around that. But I think that appeals to lots of children, doesn't it? So no, nothing really stood out, actually, career-wise.
I love how people need to ask their mums. Like, we've had so many people say, I've had to ask my mum. If you ask me what I wanted to be when I was younger, I don't need to ask my mum. I always wanted to be a detective. That's all I ever wanted to be. I wanted to be Sherlock Holmes. And I was obsessed with Agatha Christie books. So hence why I'm ended up in HR, obviously. What was your first ever job, Abby? Can you remember? Did you have to ask your mum?
Nope, didn't. No, I remember vividly. I mean, I grew up in rural Somerset, so there weren't too many, job options. But it was really important to work from quite a young age. My mum always encouraged us to do that. So I did waitressing, I think, from the age of 16 was my first waitressing job. Did a lot of waitressing. And then as a student, when I was studying, I had to work through my holidays to pay, you know, for my accommodation. I worked in factories. I worked in a meat factory, a cosmetics factory, which were really interesting experiences.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think to start with lots of hospitality work. And then, as I say, worked in factories during my studies to sort of pay for the following terms.
Was it silver service waitressing? That's what I had to do.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of village pub work. But one of my jobs, I worked in the Somerset County Cricket Ground.
Oh, nice.
In the members area. So that did involve a bit of silver service, and I had no formal training. I do recall dropping a roast potato on a on a guest, but yeah, that was always tricky. Peas and silver service.
Oh, yeah,
I get my head around that.
I remember having to go to this woman's house and she was teaching me what to do in her kitchen. I still spilt gravy on someone's Hugo Boss suit. So we've all been there. What gets you up in the morning, Abby? What gives you energy for the day ahead?
Usually what gets me up is Arthur, my 8-year-old. Like clockwork, wakes up at around 5:30 every day without fail. Still. He's always full of beans and full of energy. The concept of whispering and tiptoeing just don't exist for Arthur. So it's usually him plodding around, very flat-footed. Recently, he started adding musical instruments to the morning call. So recorders,
accordions.
Yes. So he gets me up. Always got the music on in the house. My husband likes Six Music. We've got Radio 4 in the kitchen, and upstairs it's usually Capital FM. So yeah, that's sort of usually the buzz in our household in the morning.
What time does Mia get up then, if Arthur's up that early?
She's much more respectable, more like 7 a.m.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be dragged out of bed at the moment, though. I'm expecting it won't be too long before we're having to sort of coax her out of bed. But yeah, she's
how old is she now?
She's 10.
10, yeah, okay. Tell us something about you that people may not know.
I think a lot of my team know this, but perhaps not more widely. We keep bees at home.
Love that.
So I say we. I'm definitely the second assistant beekeeper. My husband is the main apiarist in our house. But we have really enjoyed keeping bees. Actually, for the last 2 years, our little colonies have grown and grown, and we've got 7 beehives at the moment.
Wow.
So I really enjoy that process, making honey. It's you know, so close to nature, and it's amazing to see what these, you know, hundreds of thousands of bees produce each year. So yeah, that's been really enjoyable actually for
us. So do you eat your own honey?
We do. I'm not a huge fan of honey.
No, I'm not. I don't like the taste.
I have to say, it tastes different. Your own honey from your local surroundings tastes very different than a lot of the manufactured honey.
Oh, really?
Which is often a composite of different honeys. So you have to be quite careful to pick the right type of honey when you're purchasing it in the supermarket. You know, you've got rows and rows, but often they're a combination of various different honeys. In so pure honey is amazing, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, and I quite like it. But also very good for hay fever. Lots of our neighbours come and ask for a pot of honey.
Yeah, I remember you saying
that. That's a good top tip, particularly at this time of year when people are suffering from hay fever, is to find local honey. That seems to really help.
What, just a spoonful?
Yeah.
Okay, good tip. Do Arthur and Mia like the taste of honey?
They do.
Do they?
And actually, they really enjoy going out and beekeeping. They've got their little beekeeping suits.
Aww.
They've done videos for school. School is super interested in it. And they're surprisingly knowledgeable, actually, and can spot a queen on a frame of, you know, 10,000 bees.
No way. That's brilliant.
Yeah. So it's been really good fun, actually. And it's been quite good to build their confidence. A lot of children don't like flying insects.
No, mine ran a mile.
Yeah, they're quite cool and calm around the hive. So, yeah.
My husband loved bees. He strokes bees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a photo of him when he was really tiny stroking a bee in a flower, and he's never stopped doing it since. So he always gets annoyed with me because I get mixed up with a honeybee and a wasp because they look a bit similar, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, but very different.
But very different, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there something or someone that's made you smile recently, Abby?
Today, just today, and it happens every day that we're in the office together, a Gordy Bee. I feel very privileged to walk into the office to him every morning that I'm here in store. Always makes me smile. Always sort of takes the time to share a joke or an anecdote. So yeah, he never fails to make me smile, and it's wonderful. It's a privilege to work with him.
He is pure joy, the perfect person to welcome new joiners into Harrods. And
absolutely.
Those store tours that he does that we know and love. What excites you right now? What are you excited about? What are you looking forward to in home, work?
I think at the moment we've got a really unique opportunity as a business. You know, we've, you know, weathered some really tough storms over the last 2 years. And I think we've got an amazing opportunity on the back of that quite disrupted world, you know, to really capitalize and change and reflect and look at how we do things, challenge ourselves to do things differently. And you know, we've changed a huge amount in the last 2 years that would have taken us perhaps 5 years previously. Mm. So I feel like it's an amazing opportunity for us as a business. You know, don't get me wrong, it's been extremely challenging, but I think that excites me every day, this sort of amazing mandate we've got as we continue to return to strength. Harrods Awards for Excellence, really excited about that. Amazing to see those nominations coming through. It really is the pinnacle of recognition at Harrods, and I love the stories.
Me too.
And the opportunity to shine a light on great Harrodians. So that's really exciting.
And so nice that hopefully this year we can be back together in person after a virtual session last year, which was great, but there's no substitute for just feeling the room and the energy and the passion and the love between colleagues in the room on the night, is there?
No, there really is nothing like it.
Yeah, such a special night.
Really excited about that.
Yeah, so roll on September. And good luck to all the nominees. So if we put your functional hat on for a minute, could you tell us a bit around what's on the HR roadmap for the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, so our HR strategy sort of focuses on three pillars, attracting and developing talent. We are also focusing on creating an inclusive, connected and healthy culture for our colleagues. Mm-hmm. And the third one is about enabling agile, high-performing teams. So lots of work focusing on those three pillars, but you'll see a re-articulation of our employee value proposition. We're focusing a lot on talent and how we spot and retain particularly critical talent, which we know in this current sort of really competitive market is critical for any business. Mm-hmm. We're focusing on inclusion and belonging, which has been something that Viv, you've been working really hard on.
Yep.
And it's really lovely to see that strategy coming to fruition.
Definitely.
So lots more focus there. It's really only the beginning for us in that area.
Yep.
And then wellbeing, you know, a really big opportunity, really critical for us to understand, you know, the needs of our colleagues, particularly on the back of the last 2 years. And all businesses are focusing much more closely on wellbeing as a strategic imperative. So I think there'll be lots more in that area to come from us.
Totally.
Hybrid at Harrods, obviously, we've recently launched our sort of formal approach, but there'll be more work to ensure that we keep connections alive for colleagues.
Yeah.
We create opportunities for people to come and connect and learn together. So those are really the key focuses for us.
So as we think back, it's been a whirlwind over the past 2 and a bit years, I guess. What did you miss most when we were working very differently, Abby, and over the lockdown period? Because I know you're someone that's got great affection for the business, and I share that. What did you miss most as we were working very differently throughout that time?
Yeah, I'm a big introvert, actually. So you know, often there's been lots of conversations about introverts faring better during lockdown. But I really missed, you know, physically being with the team, with colleagues, the building, the store. You get so much energy from this environment.
You do.
It really does inspire you every day and reminds you what we're here to do. And it's, I think... that physical connection was surprisingly affected me, actually. Mm. Couldn't wait to get back. You know, love that I have more flexibility and more of that balance,
yeah.
But absolutely love my time in store, connecting with colleagues. You know, that's where I get my inspiration and energy from.
I agree. What's your favourite thing about Harrods?
The people.
Yeah.
You know, I've got an amazing team. I feel really fortunate to work with some amazing experts. But it's you know, the people around the store, the colleagues that I've worked with for 20 years and still remember me when I was a young whippersnapper when I joined as an administrator. You know, there's some amazing individuals. And I think their passion for the brand really inspires me every day. There is so much passion and energy. People feel so proud that they're custodians of a truly wonderful and iconic brand.
Yeah.
The other thing that still gets me perhaps not in the summer evenings, but when you leave the store and it's dark and you walk away and you look back up and you see the store lit up in all its glory, it still gives me goosebumps now that, you know, I'm part of that and I work for that, you know, iconic brand, that iconic organisation. So that still gets me.
Me too. And I'll never forget Michael, our lovely butcher in the food hall, talking about how that sends a shiver up his spine and, you know, walking out of the tube in the evening and seeing the building there, you know, and he can't believe he works there. Just so lovely hearing him talk about that. But, you know, it's a lovely feeling that the building does create in you. Clearly, we are recruiting lots of people at the moment. It's a really, really busy time for us as a business. As you've alluded to, we're working towards our return to strength journey. What advice would you give to people joining Harrods, Abby?
I think it's really important to be curious.
Yep.
Take the time to ask lots of questions, whether you're working in a sort of front-facing role, on the front line, or whether you're in a support area. I think it's really important if you work in a support area to spend time out in the operation, getting to know colleagues, understanding what we're here for. And I think that's really essential to have that time, you know, out in the business to visit the store, to visit our warehouse. I think that's really crucial. I think what's really important is really for people to bring them their unique selves to work. I think that is, you know, we're trying to create a culture where people are comfortable to be themselves and to show their personality. That, you know, I think that's really, really important. Certainly that's what we're looking for when we're going out and hiring.
Absolutely.
So I think that's really important. And I think, you know, bringing in, having a mix of people that have got long tenure and people with different experiences from different organisations, really it's important for those people that are newer to Harrods to, you know, use those fresh eyes to give feedback, you know, to those of us that are more established, that have worked here a little longer. So not to be afraid to give that feedback and share. And give constructive feedback. Some of it might be constructive, but I think that, you know, that's why we bring in, you know, people with different backgrounds and different experiences so we can learn. So I think be confident to, you know, ask questions and give feedback.
Love that. And I suppose an extension of that question, why would you suggest that people join Harrods? What do you think so great about working at Harrods that others would want to be part of?
Yeah, it's people come to us for different reasons. You know, for me, I am not a big shopper, so it's not necessarily about the luxury brands or products. It's about, you know, this amazing culture, working with amazing people who are truly passionate about what they do, whatever role that they have in the organisation. A real sense of family and community. People talk about that
a
lot.
They do.
And I think that's what makes Harrods so special for me. You know, it's an organisation that pushes itself to be better and do better, you know, in that is challenging, and you work very hard and the pace is pretty full on, but it's also so incredibly rewarding. And I think, you know, anyone that, you know, wants to sort of aim high and push themselves to be the very best they can be in their field, I think Harrods is the place where you can do that.
I totally agree. And I think it's somewhere where you can do your best work and you'll be encouraged and supported and challenged to do your best work. And that's certainly my experience here. I've definitely really proud of everything I've been able to do and achieve here and in this very, very unique and special environment. So I would definitely echo everything that you've said.
Well, I must take the opportunity, Viv, now that we're talking, you know, and possibly one of your last podcasts, to say, you know, your legacy is amazing. We've been very privileged to have you part of our organisation. And the work that you've done will stand the test of time. And I'd just like to thank you for that. You've been a truly wonderful colleague. I think it goes without saying that me and you know, hundreds of other colleagues feel really appreciative of what you've done in the time you've been with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Abby. I'm not going to tear up. I'll be so sad to go. So to stop me from crying, we've got a little surprise for you. As you've rightly alluded to, we're all about celebrating uniqueness here at Harrods, and our employer brand promise around our culture is uniquely you together, Harrods. And one of the things that you've shared with us today that I already knew, that we already knew, is that you and your family are beekeepers. So we have an Ask Abby Bee Edition.
Wow.
Abby's face is a picture for those of you listening. We're going to test your bee knowledge. Yes, it's a bit random, but it might be nice to have a bit of fun. So here goes. You just need to let us know if the statement is believable or unbelievable. That's one way of saying true or false, but using bees. So we'll start with an easy one. All worker bees are female.
Believable.
Yes, it is believable. Well done. A bee produces a tablespoon of honey, about 5 grams, in her lifetime.
Unbelievable.
Good. It's a teaspoon. Thank you, Raj Bassi, for these lovely bee-related questions. Male bees, in brackets drones, have bigger eyes to help them find the queen bee.
Crikey. Believable?
Yes, believable. It's a fact. Who knew? Abby knew. And finally, you'll be relieved to know, the bee is the only social insect to be partially domesticated by humans.
Believable?
Yeah, believable.
Wow.
Wow, fascinating.
They are awesome bees.
They are. Who knows what that last one actually means, but you got it right, so that's the main thing. Abby, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to have you with us today, sharing your story and a little bit about the HR journey for the next 6 to 12 months. So thank you so very much.
Thank you, Viv.
So that brings us to the end of this True Tales from Harrods podcast. A huge thank you to lovely Abby for sharing so much insight into her career, into all things HR, and would you believe it, into bees. If you haven't already, then please do go back and discover previous episodes, and do subscribe if you'd like to receive more episodes as soon as they become available. As always, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful June and a wonderful summer. Until our next episode, big love from me, Viv.